What's up, everyone? We are back with another episode of Pound for Pound. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman.
Henry Cejudo, a.k.a. Triple C.
And we are back here in Las Vegas at the beautiful Fountain Blue. Yo, it's my first time staying at this hotel, Henry, and this is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy, man. I've been to the one in Miami. I was just staying in that one. But this one over here in Vegas is absolutely over the top.
Yes, what? Well, we are here. UFC 300 going down this weekend. Man, we have a very, 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 very special guest. My little bro, the highlight, Mr. Justin Gaethje.
A Shot of Lime production.
We're not twins. We're not twins. You are definitely the little brother.
Was that better than Bruce Buffer?
Way better.
See?
I don't know. I mean...
What's up, Justin? Hey.
Fight week.
It's fight week. I was just about to say that. It's fight week. And you know, obviously, I love you so much. I want to play right now. But as soon as I walked in, I felt the energy. I was like, oh, shit, it is fight week. Can't play too much. You know, I've talked to Trevor and Ben about this. I love the way that you have definitely started to hone in, and you have shifted so much in the last, getting to know you in the last couple of years, to where it's almost like you're taking it so much more serious now, because you know exactly where you're going as a fighter. It's not just, you know, I'm going for another fight. You know exactly where you're going. And I see that. Just want to let you know, I see it. So I had to switch up my energy because I tried to hug you. Usually, you know how you like to run up and hug me like little brother.
Like a bear hug. Big
bro. No.
Show you who's...
No, like little kids when they see their dad.
Oh, yeah? You calling Usman daddy, dude? Is that what's going on here?
Pause. You know how the internet is. But
undefeated.
Hey, I just wanted to say, we landed. Henry, I don't know if you saw it. We landed. Getting off the plane, and I'm walking to baggage claim, and I see a freaking life-size cutout of Justin Gaethje in the airport
with the Crocs,
with a bunch of happy dads. Were you wearing Crocs?
Oh yeah.
I was like, yo, I thought famous, but damn,
they did not let me know about that photo shoot until about 18 hours before. I had not got a haircut, so I was like, fuck it, they're gonna give me as is.
Yeah, you look fresh though.
Yeah, they did not get me looking like Fight Week, that's for sure.
Justin, how are you handling all of it? Because it seems like, and you know, with each and every fight, it's more and more, you know, responsibilities, more and more. And I'm just going on record. This is my main event this weekend.
This is the people's main event.
This is,
let's go. It's a huge fight.
Main event. 100%.
And how are you handling all of this?
I love it. I'd look at it as just part of the job. You know, the fun part is at the end, but this is something I got to go through and deal with. You know, the worst part is the weight cut that comes tomorrow, and then it's game time. You know, nothing like getting in that cage under those lights. All the adrenaline, all the drugs that your body naturally gives you, special place.
Yeah, I feel like, Justin, I feel like you've made so much improvements like throughout your career. I remember the first time watching you fight World Series of Fight against Palomino. I'm like, who the fuck is this dude? Fight of the year, so happened to be.
Yeah.
Crazy, crazy fight. And obviously you came into the UFC, you had you had your run-in with your teammate.
Alvarez, Poirier.
Yeah, well, I know you fought Alvarez, but your debut, who was your debut in the UFC?
Johnson.
Yeah, Michael Johnson.
Yeah, his boy.
You had that fight with him, but then, you know, then you ended up going against Alvarez, you ended up, you know, going up against Poirier, but the Justin that we see now is completely different.
Yeah.
You're a lot more tactical now.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I was there for both your fights, for the Poirier fight and also the Alvarez fight. And I feel like now you've been able to really pace your threshold to where it's made you dangerous. And we go back to the Michael Chandler fight too.
Yeah.
Now you're adding the wrestling. What is it that's clicking, that's changing? What is it that Justin Gaethje from then is different now?
I mean, that Justin Gaethje was a much crazier person in general, outside of the octagon, inside the octagon. You know, I definitely had no regard for my health. You know, I didn't care. I was going into fights. I wanted to break them. I never thought about not getting punched or not taking strikes, you know, because I figured and knew up to that point that no one could knock me out because I hadn't been rocked really in a fight and I hadn't been finished. And just a lot crazier. You know, I always possessed the skills. Me and Trevor have been working on these skills for 12, 13 years. And, you know, but I was winning by being tenacious, you know, and I used that every single fight. That's all I knew. And then, you know, I was able, after those two losses, I was able to step back and be like, you know, let's see what kind of, I never trusted in my skills because I didn't care about my skills. You know, I just knew that I was more aggressive, more tenacious, and I wanted it more than these guys. And that was what was working for me. I was 18-0, you know, in after the Michael Johnson fight, took two losses, and I was like, okay, you know, I really got to use my mind and be more thoughtful towards my, you know, health in general, want to live longer. As I got older, that as I got older, that was, that became a thing. But before that, you know, I never cared about those things. And then, you know, I was able to, once I was able to have my first fight where I wasn't in that mindset where I was like, you know, completely just 100% on the gas pedal, you know, I found success and it felt much, you know, easier. And I still had the performance of the night. I still got fight of the night. And so, you know, then I understood that this was a different way and I could use it in the future.
Yeah. Is that mentality of you saying, hey, I have four more wars. Like, do you still have that mentality? Do you want to just see how far it is that you could take? Because in reality, Justin, when somebody loses in the fashion that you have lost, they don't come back.
I mean, I've never been put to sleep.
You haven't, but think about it. Like, neither have I. But I've been stopped before.
Yeah, I've been stopped three times. I've been rocked twice. I count the Oliveira as one because I definitely got a concussion in that fight. You know, the only reason I got to the ground is because he dropped me with the shot, a huge shot. And that was, you know, that if that was to continue to happen back to back, you know, that was something I, you know, sat back and I was like, okay, I can't let this happen again. Again, came back, found success again. It's a crazy game that we play. I think that we all know what we're doing is dangerous. I think that's why I'm able to go to a special place when I'm in there, because I know the danger. I realize the danger and I'm accepting the danger. But I'm not going to sit here and take shots and take damage and get, you know, get finished back to back to back and then continue to be like, oh, I could be the best in the world. I think... So
that's the ship of mentality that has changed, because that was Justin in the beginning. Yeah. Now it's Justin more of a calculated killer.
Yeah, I mean... 100% controlled chaos. It was just chaos. You know, every time I stepped in there, it was chaos, and I always came out on top. And you know, I never knew if I got hit or didn't get hit because I go to a very special place when I'm in there. You know, I don't hear the crowd. I don't very rarely hear my coaches. I don't see the lights. You know, I'm in a zone that you know, I've worked to be in and be comfortable in through wrestling and through all my years of competing in one-on-one situations.
Yeah, I mean, it's been great to watch your progress and just you watch you change, you know, just right before my eyes, even though obviously you've been putting in the work for years with Trevor.
Yeah.
But this weekend, we've got Max Holloway, a guy who is kind of, I feel like he's facing similar, he's displaying similar traits to where he's definitely has made a shift in his career to where now, you know, Max was only, the only guy that was beating him was, Volkanovski, you know, yeah. Volkanovski. Yeah. Besides that, he's put on stellar performances against everyone in that featherweight division.
Yeah, including Poirier.
Including Poirier. So, how do you see this fight going?
Man, I think I need to use my skills. You know, I finally trust in those skills. I'm confident in my skills. I've always had them. But again, I didn't need to use them because I was winning and I didn't see a reason to change what's not broken. You know, and these last four or five fights, you know, I've really... found a different way to fight, and that's by being more patient, more calculated. It's crazy. I didn't ever think that was a path, you know, to success in this sport, but it is. It certainly is. I think the harder you try in this sport, sometimes the worse you do. And if you get too caught up,
what do you mean by that?
Like, if you want something so much, you know, you're throwing too hard. You know, you're throwing at 110% rather than 85%. You know, with more accuracy. And yeah, I think, you know, and then emotion, when you want it so bad, emotions get involved, you know, and I think, the least amount of emotions I have is the most successful performances I've had. I think I'm performing better than ever right now. And I think that's due to me not being caught up in everything outside of the octagon and, you know, not worrying about that shit. Cause none of that matters whenever that time starts.
Yeah. I don't know. Quote me on this saying, bro, but I don't know if I came up with it, created, but let me know, Trey, what you think about this. You got to give a fuck. to not give a fuck. You gotta give a fuck to not give a fuck to give a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, again,
hold on, is there something to that?
Let me digest that. You gotta give
it. It comes with age. All of this comes with age. You know, with age comes.
Oh, guess you were wondering. Yeah, we have the glasses here too. So,
you know, after this, we will drop the link so you guys can order your glasses.
Now, I think all of us have been through the same thing. We were competitors through and through, and you know, that's all. When you start as a child, you don't realize that, you know, you can be in control of everything, you know, and the older we become, you know, the more we realize that things outside do not matter, you know, especially when it comes to being your best self, performing the best. And, you know, 25 minutes in time is all I got to be perfect for. And so I got to really focus.
You have a very carefree way of seeing things. I think when you're carefree, when you do something, you're carefree and you're willing to risk it all too.
Yeah.
Like to you, it's about getting the job done. Like getting your hand raised, just in case you're getting his hand raised, it doesn't mean anything to you. I have never seen you in a boring fight. No. I have never seen you, you know, surviving a fight. It's do or die with you.
Yeah, it's a life or death situation. You know, fortunately, we don't have to die now. But back in the gladiator days, I'm glad I'm not wasn't alive then, because I would have had to. I don't ever want to kill somebody. But you know, I liked Max Holloway. I liked Cowboy Cerrone, but when I'm competing, it's 100%. I want to win. You know, I've been a competitor since day one. Learned it through wrestling. I failed many times, but you know, I've always believed in myself and my skills. And I think that's, you know, one of the most, the confidence is everything in there. I think, you know, people talk about the Tony Ferguson fight. I don't think I broke his chin. I don't think I broke his face. I think I broke his confidence. And I think that's the biggest factor. Yeah, it took his fighting spirit and made him, you know, not believe in some of the things that were working. And that's detrimental to us as athletes.
I would say for years, that's probably the biggest thing that I was addicted to in the process of winning is feeling, and we're all wrestlers here, so we know that better than anybody, because you know when someone wilts. You know when their spirit starts to take a back step. And they slowly kind of give up that one position and that other position. Because when you start, that's why you have to let a fight build, which is why I'm so grateful now that we actually train together. And I think this is one thing that Trevor does very, very well is getting us to understand how to build a fight. Yeah. Let the fight build. And I think right now that's one thing that you are doing so well, to where before it was just like, all right, let's fucking just go. It's chaos. And you like the voice change? You like the voice change?
I think we all go through that. You know, the quicker it starts, you know, the chaos, then the faster the thoughts and emotions and everything goes away, and then it's over. But yeah, you got to really, you know, like that part of it. You got to like you know, you gotta be tactical. And to be tactical, you gotta, you know, not engage as much. And when you don't engage as much, sometimes the crowd is more, you know, the audio is still there, the lights are still there. And, you know, when you're scared and you wanna get away from that, the one way to get away from that, I think Michael Chandler is a good example. You know, he constantly is trying to make the chaos happen as early as possible so that all that goes away.
It's almost like it's from our own fears of the unknown is why we want to push that chaos right away. It's almost like, let me get hit so I know what this is going to feel like. So now I'm in it, you know. And to where, like I said, with learning how to build a fight now is understanding that I don't have to hit the guy right away. Yeah. I don't have to touch him. And I think that was one thing that I never told Trevor this. That was kind of a little frustrating for me early on is if I'm going to throw a jab, I want to hit this guy with the jab. Yeah. And he's like, sometimes you don't have to hit them. Just
see what they're going to do
to get there.
See their reactions, make a miss.
Yeah.
And these are things I never thought about doing at the beginning of a fight.
Yeah.
And now it's, you know, it's so important. It's such a big factor to this is a momentum. You know, every fight is a momentum thing. And, you know, you got to steal the momentum, but it doesn't have to be by punching them. It could be by making them miss, you know, making them controlling their feet, controlling range. I think those are the biggest factors. And again, you know, if you're in there chasing the chaos, you're going to avoid those circumstances. You're going to push right through those and you're going to miss those opportunities.
People, when people hear of your fights or they see your fight, it just looks like a brawl. Being honest, it just looks like a brawl, to where it's crazy to me because I don't think they understand how much you work on on your tactics and the techniques and things like that, to where when you gets in there, it might look like a brawl.
Yeah, it looks like chaos.
But it's controlled. It's chaos, but it looks like it, which is one thing that I'm super happy for you for, and I get to witness is the fact that it's not just chaos.
Yeah.
There's actually a method to that chaos.
There's always been a method. You know, I just didn't trust in the skills that I had early on. And now, you know, I've learned. Again, it takes experience. I had to learn. Whenever I fought Tony Ferguson and it was so slow, but I still created so much damage and there was still chaos, but it was all controlled chaos. I was like, and I wasn't tired.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy shit, that's the way to do it. You know, and so you just try to repeat that. You know, obviously every opponent I fight is going to be different. But that, you know, myself, I could be that guy and still be successful, still be exciting, still get my bonuses, still get my money, and still keep climbing towards a, you know, a championship fight.
But why don't you do that with me in practice, though?
I do.
No, you don't. Shall we review the tapes, Trevor? there's a few tapes.
Practice is a lot different than a fight.
To mind, Justin, and I was curious to kind of ask you in the beginning, because it's almost feel like he kind of shrugged that loss with Oliveira off a little bit. Like, you know what I'm saying? I feel like it's like, you're not necessarily like, it's like he got the victory, but you're not necessarily giving him the flowers.
No, that was the last lesson I needed to learn.
Yeah.
That was me wanting something too bad, being emotional for many circumstances, but.
So concussion, being too emotional.
Well, the concussion happened in the fight.
Oh, concussion happened in the fight. With the concussion.
No, I mean, I honestly had 18 days before I got a concussion riding a bike, you know, in that fight. It's not something I need to talk about, want to talk about, but that's why those strikes were so. I say he's the hardest guy that's ever punched me, but that was a factor, you know, and, you know, he doesn't need to know that. Yeah, it was a bicycle. Bike whooped my fucking ass. No, 18 days before I smoked my head off the concrete. But I was so ready and so willing. And, you know, the fight was at home and I've never pulled out of a fight. And, you know, I didn't even think about for a second to pull out of the fight. But that's why those strikes were so effective. I also got caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
And that was the last lesson I needed to learn. I will never let that happen again. I might lose again, and I will lose again because that's what we do.
Yeah, because right now, man, the way I see it is 155 pounds is... It's a stacked division. And anybody at any given point, whoever the person that performs, is more likely probably going to get that next title shot. I'm not sure if they're still trying to kind of get that fight with you know, do Islam and Poirier. I'm not sure what they're thinking on that. So I know how you had mentioned a little bit.
I just think that they're, you know, I think that's the last, you know, the last option. Last resort, because again...
So you go through this fight, get unscathed, you knock this dude out, you're the next person, like, you'll fight him in June. You'll fight Islam Makhachev in June.
I'm not saying that. I don't think I need to. I don't think...
Would you want to?
No. No.
Why?
Because a training camp involves putting yourself through extreme situations. You know, your body gets tired, fatigued, sore... You know, none of us go into a fight 100%, and I want my time. You know, I want my time to rest, decompress. I think that every single fight is a traumatic life experience, and I think you need to take the time, the personal time, to recover mentally, physically after that. And, you know, that's 2 months from now, 8 weeks from now.
Right. Even for whatever reason, you come unscathed.
Then they can, he doesn't have to fight in June. He can fight in July, August. Then it'll work.
Let me reframe this. What he meant to say is, he does want that, but
I want that fight
for a Justin Gaethje performance, for what the fans, for what you, Sean, Mick, just please give me that adequate time.
Yeah, I'll
to
take
prepare.
Madison Square Garden in November.
Want
it's perfect.
Islam Makhachev.
Oh, I and absolutely, you know, want that fight.
The one thing that I haven't checked off my career yet is, let me do it at the Garden. Let me do it at the Mecca. I don't like the New York taxes, but for you guys, I'll do it. Thank you, Dave.
Exactly. Thank you.
That's what he meant to say.
No, I want that fight. I mean, I know that I'm already... Oliveira really, you know, it all fucked things up when he cut his eye in October.
Right. But I like the fact that you're taking that back. So you're known, like you, Trevor, the team, saying, like, you know what? We're smart enough to know that this crap is grueling. I'm going through whatever it is. Even if I come out of this fight unscathed, I got to study and really train for this dude. Because this dude is so much different. Max Holloway and Islam Makhachev are completely different fights.
Not the same fight. And it is what it is. I think they're calling... I hope Sarukian wins, because I think he'll fight him in June. And then I want the winner. I mean, this sounds like I'm passing up a fight. It's not what that is. You know, I want to fight. I love to fight. If the coaches around me say, we're going to take that fight in June, then I take that fight in June because they know that I'm ready. But, you know, for me to, again, decompress, I think you need to take time after these fights. So again, traumatic life experience, especially the way I do it, especially the mindset that I go to. It's a near-death experience. You know, my body releases certain chemicals, and I don't want that to go away. You know, I need that to refresh and be able to go there again.
Thing with Max Holloway's, obviously we've kind of all watched Max Holloway grow up inside that octagon.
Yep.
I remember his debut fight, this skinny little 17-year-old kid in the UFC. 19. I think he was he 19?
Yeah.
No, I think
he was like 2011.
2011. How old is Max now?
32.
I'm 32. Oh, look at you, Daniel. Your homework. Yeah. Justin knows everything. 12 years. You know, hospital, he born 12
got
years.
Kids so, fighting the octagon.
he was 19, 20 years old.
Well, so I do. I think he might be 19, but I do remember distinctively he was the youngest signed fighter in the UFC at that time. And I just watched this kid put it on someone. And I remember going, wow, this kid's good. For a 19-year-old little, this kid's good. All those years later, Max is still around and he's still doing it at the highest possible level. You know, I think this is a very intriguing fight because, I mean, some people like to dismiss it that, oh, Max, he's a 45, but he's a big guy.
Yeah. No, and I mean, when he fought Poirier, he was on 2 weeks' notice. He didn't have a training camp. You know, he didn't bulk up, get ready to make this weight cut. I think it's a very different circumstance. I think he's going to be strong. I think he's going to be fast. Hopefully not as fast because he's going to be bigger. But he's going to be big. He's going to be just as big as me. I guarantee that.
I think the way I see this matchup too, Justin, is like you're a risk taker. Obviously, you throw power. And with a guy like Max Holloway, he's a volume fighter. He's going to use that jab. He's going to be in your face. But could he do that against a guy like you? Because if you get too close, I'm kicking you. Yeah. You get too close, I'm throwing that uppercut. I'm throwing it with bad intentions.
My accuracy is up there with the best fighters that have ever stepped in there. I'm accurate with my shots, you know, and I'm becoming more accurate as time goes on, as each fight passes. I'm sitting at like 60, 65%. I do not land shots, and I constantly create damage. Even if I'm trying not to, that's my mindset. I'm gonna not try to make it happen. And for some reason, their face looks like car crash every single time. And so I trust that that's going to happen. I'm going to be able to do that with the skills that I possess.
Yeah, because it seems too, and particularly that fight with Alan Arnold. Alan?
Yeah. You said Alan Arnold.
Arnold Allen?
Yeah,
okay. Arnold Allen. God, they both sound like either first names or last names, whatever. He was throwing in leg kicks. He was going southpaw. He was throwing kicks. A Holloway who not only throws volume with his hand, but now that is kicking. That's a completely different version. And particularly that fight with even Korean Zombie. Now he's doing a good job of going backwards and then eventually countering.
Yeah. No, I think it's going to be, I mean, if he wants to sit on his back foot, I'm going to have the opportunity to kick his leg more. Once his leg starts to get too damaged, he's going to have to start being aggressive. And it's going to be controlling range, creating angles, and using my feet. Controlling their feet is all my coach talks about to me, Kamaru, any guy he works with or girl. It's about controlling their feet. If their feet aren't set, then they can't take the shots. If their feet aren't set, they can't throw power. I have to keep his feet moving, and that's the reason I've been successful. Fiziev, Poirier, I led the dance, and that's what I do. That's what I've worked on footwork. You know, most coaches show you punches to throw. My coach shows me how to move my feet, and then the punches just come.
Do you think he may want to press you? Do you think he may want to take a little page out of Khabib and press you and put that pressure on you? And are you okay with that?
I think Ferguson tried that, and you know, once he found out my shots, you can't walk through my shots, then he had to reevaluate. And that's, if he wants to do that, he's going to find out soon and fast that you can't walk through these shots.
Talking about reevaluate. Do I reevaluate at practice? Because you have hit me. You have tried to hurt me a few times. I don't know why.
Has he cap kicked you?
Yeah, he's kicked me.
Only with shin guards.
Yeah, but still with shin guards, they hurt. They still hurt.
No, we whoop each other's ass, but.
He's the type that will hit me very, very hard, but then say, oh, no, you tried to smoke me, man. You tried to hit me. I'm like, bro, now what are you talking about?
6 inches in my chin. I still got a scar.
Who's that?
Bro, you tried to knock me out. What
Kamaru
are you talking
got
about?
You? Yeah. What? The time
no,
you
I no.
With his head?
This shiny.
No, this shiny.
We have video footage of these interactions. No.
Yeah, you almost knocking me out with the right hand. There's plenty.
Okay, that one was it was sweet too. It was a set up. Oh, I went down.
Plus, you right in the eyeball.
Right
in the eyeball. No, there's a day. Some guys can perform in practice, and some guys and they don't perform under the lights. That is not me. I'm constantly trying to take care of my partners. Yeah. Except unless it's this guy.
Kamaru, like, what made you choose to go with Justin Gaethje and obviously with Trevor? What was that? What made you make that transition? Because obviously you're at one of the best gyms in the world. You're like, you know what? I'm going to break off and I got to get better. And that you did see.
Yeah, I think it was just that. It was, I got to a place where I learned so much, but then now there's so many guys and... You know, there's always, we know this in wrestling, you get to a certain place where you hit a threshold.
Yeah.
But to get to that next level, you might need to change things up. That doesn't mean everything you've learned, you're not happy here anymore. It just means you might want to switch things up a little bit and learn a little bit more. So I got to where I was excellent at taking shots, seeing shots, and giving shots. And you saw in that Covington fight, I was willing to walk through fire just to burn his house down. You know, and but then I wanted to get to a place where it looked. I'm gonna be honest. I'm my biggest critic, you know, and I'm my biggest fan and also my biggest critic. And I love watching those boxers who could sit there and just land shots, bing bing, make you miss, make you look silly, and then land shots, make you look silly, and land shots. And I used to watch myself, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm landing shots, but I'm taking shots. I'm landing shots. I'm taking shots. I want to make them look a little silly. I was always critiquing my style. Yeah. And I was like, you know, I need to work on my feet a little bit better. Yeah. And I talked to Trevor and I told Trevor, it was between Trevor and Mark Henry, because I think these are two excellent coaches that really take the time to work with the fighter one-on-one to just break down those little things. Not that I wasn't getting that in Florida, but you know, these guys, I really liked the way that they were. And plus, they didn't have a plethora of guys. You know, they had it simplified to where they were going to spend time with the guys they were going to spend time with. And so, you know, I talked to Trevor and Trevor said I had to talk to Justin, which, you know, I didn't really want to, you know, I was just like,
I gave him my permission. This guy.
But, you know, I had to talk with Justin and he was like, yeah, bro, it's cool, bro. It's cool.
He come and say, what's up?
What's up? What's up? But yeah, we talked and we just meshed right away. It goes to test to how good of a dude.
Yeah, but you guys knew each other prior to you making that transition.
So, I knew a lot of him.
No, yeah. Well, so you didn't even know him. No, so you I knew him, but I didn't know him like that.
Yes, I knew him, but I didn't know him like that.
If you work out with 100 coaches and he's one of them, you'll know that was a different workout.
Yeah. Because I remember it was...
There's no coach that coaches like him focuses on things that nobody even thinks to focus on.
Yeah, I do remember that first time we like worked together.
Yeah, I'll make you
feel
goofy.
We didn't do any punches. We didn't hit no mitts. We hit nothing. We just did
a lot of philosophy.
Fucking footwork. And I remember leaving.
How
I was like, I remember my brain leaving that practice like, bro, I fucking can't hit mitts and stuff, bro. Like, we didn't hit no mitts. I'm doing these line drills. I'm moving my feet, but my feet was fucking burning. And I was so tired. I left. I was like, why am I so tired, bro? I didn't even...
Shit, elevation, bro, Colorado.
I'm like, I didn't even hit mitts. I didn't even do nothing. But why am I tired? My thighs are burning and everything. But I was just like, you know what? Let's stick with it and see where it goes. And then it was... I do remember it was the fight week before we went to Abu Dhabi that I was just like, yo, it's coming together. I'm moving. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. Oh, snap. It's coming together. And I was like, okay, there is a method to this.
Yeah.
And stuck with it ever since. But
yeah, no, 100%. Obviously, you could tell, man. Obviously, Trevor is a future Hall of Fame coach whenever they start the inductions in there. But moving on, man, you got Charles Oliveira versus Armin Sarukian.
Yep.
First of all, man, you've been in there with Charles Oliveira. Break down a little bit of Armin Sarukian, man. Like he's to this date, Justin, he's been the guy that has given Islam Makhachev other than him getting knocked out by Pantoja way back in the day in the beginning, this guy has given him the best matchup till now.
Yeah. So I haven't.
Knocked out by who?
Pantoja.
The 25 pounder?
No, 55er.
But his name's Pantoja?
Last name.
Was it? Oh, I thought it was Martin.
Does he watch MMA?
Let's look at that.
I have not.
Guy named Martin.
I have not studied Sarukian. I've watched his fights. I watch all the fights, but I haven't studied Sarukian. Specifically, I watched him fight Dariush.
Strong, short. He's 5'7". Did he fight Dariush?
What? Yeah, he fought Benil. He just knocked out Benil.
Yeah, with the knee.
Strong, short.
Yeah.
Good, aggressive, good wrestling defense.
Yeah, very similar to Volkanovski. I think those guys are very difficult to control on the ground, take down. You know, they're like bowling balls. And I think, yeah, I think he's a tough matchup for anybody. And, you know, obviously, you, again, control range, control his feet. But, yeah, he's a tough matchup for anybody.
Yeah,
I think, obviously, he's wrestling heavy. You know, I think Oliveira's, you know, obviously a tactician. I think Oliveira, if he wants to play on his back, he's learned. Now, if not, then that you can't do that, you know, especially with guys with good top pressure. That's not how you win a fight in the UFC, in MMA, by being on your back and playing jiu-jitsu. And, you know, I think, I don't know who's going to win. I don't know who's going to win. Who do you think is going to win?
Who do I think is going to win?
Yeah.
I think Armin, the simple fact that he's going to keep it basic. It might be a boring fight. I think he may try to go to the inside. Just watch out for those crazy hooks.
Knees.
Maybe those jumpy knees a little bit. Because the one thing I will say about Charles is sometimes he is hot or cold, but sometimes he's so long and he has so rangy, but yeah, he seems to be this close with people. And I don't understand that. And I think a guy like Armin may go in there and actually look for takedowns and maybe just take a little bit of what Islam Makhachev did. Just control up top, stay tight, look for his, you know, small ground and pound, yeah. And maybe look for some submissions. But anything, I think, still out the fight. It's a 3-round fight. It benefits him so much more.
I agree.
You think it's going to be a boring fight. And I'm just like, a guy like Charles doesn't allow it to be a boring fight because of the way that he comes. I think he just, something clicked in his head, you know, later in his career to where he realized, I just have to go. I have to go. And if I go, then I create opportunities for myself. And I think that's why he's been so successful. Yeah. But he's like I said, I compare him to, he's like a little brother that you make mad and he doesn't know how to hurt you. So he grabs the butter knife and he's like, ah, I'm going to cut you. You know how you used to do to me, you know, like, ah, I'm going to cut you if you get closer to me. Huh? I think that's Charles Oliveira. I think he does not give you, even if you take him down, he's jumping on this submission, he's jumping on that submission. But I do agree with you. I think Armin is solid enough to be able to take him down, hold him down, and be safe. Just like wrestlers can be. We can be safe.
Let's not call it boring, then. Let's call it safe. Is that better, Kamaru?
I say a controlled. Armin could win a controlled fight if he doesn't get caught.
Yeah, but sometimes control fight, you know what the fans do? Boo, boo. Justin, would that be you?
I've never heard of boo.
I think we're speaking the same language,
right,
Kamaru, because, you know, with somebody that has a bag of tricks like Charles Oliveira, he's fucking very diverse, dude, from knees, elbows, submissions, or even takedowns. His takedowns are so underrated. When he penetrates,
he
gets
so much
people.
Leverage, man. That guy is tall.
Yeah, and this was a former 145-pounder that eventually that came up. That came
he was
up
55, went to 45, came back to 55. I think he's not, you know, anytime you cut that much weight, it's such a detriment to your performance. I think he's performing great. I think it's a very intriguing fight. I think, you know, the fans are going to love it. I don't think it's going to be boring.
Yeah.
At all.
I think it's going to be a great fight. And obviously that four-man bracket of who gets through this weekend is going to be on that short line to get that lightweight fight.
There's going
to
be two contenders coming out.
Yeah.
100%. And we're both going to fight him this year. When? I don't know.
Well, I just want to say I appreciate your time. I know it's fight week. This is the part that we don't love so much about it, but I'm so proud of how you've been handling yourself in the media, man. You're growing on me every day. I'm getting emotional, Trevor. Yeah, this man is
6 hours of media yesterday. Yeah. I got about four or five hours ahead.
Yeah, but you make the big bucks now.
Part
so
of the game.
When you make the big bucks, you have to carry that burden of getting the people, you know, this entertainment.
Well,
and
they already know what they're getting.
Fantastic job of that.
The most consistent guy that's ever stepped in there.
I agree. But I want to thank you for your time. Thank
Absolutely.
You for being here with us. You know,
yeah, we'll do it again after.
We'll get it a little in depth so you can tell me, you know, what makes you sad, what makes you happy.
I can tell you every time he's lying.
Yeah. You know,
every time.
But yeah, Justin, we appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Big fight this weekend. UFC 300 versus Max Holloway. Man, I'm gonna be there. You know, you had my heart jumping out my chest last time, but
hopefully, you know, to do the same.
I love it, and we We love you.
Good thing you weren't at home. You'd been running through the streets naked.
Shit, I probably would have. I probably. But yes, Justin Gaethje, thank you so much for being here. I am the Nigerian Nightmare, Kamaru Usman,
aka Triple C,
and we are out. All right, we just had Justin Gaethje here with us. It was a great, amazing interview. I mean, Henry, what did you think?
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, man, with Justin, it surprised me a little bit. And how is it that now, how he admitted that he was a fighter that just brought chaos in the beginning. Then he slowly started to realize, if I continue to keep going down this path, like, my health is on the line. And I think now the fact that he's able to kind of check his ego, but yet still be a lot more dangerous now than he was then, he's become more of a calculated killer.
Yeah. No, he said it. He said that he always had the skills, but he didn't trust in them. Now he trusts in his skills. But real quick, one thing, because I'm in this, you know, obviously we're in this place of just psychological enlightenment that we're at. And it was something interesting that he just brought up, and I never thought of it like that, is, you know, the reason he rushed to that chaos was so he doesn't feel that fear of the unknown too much. Because we're afraid. We're afraid when the fight starts, we're both worried. My opponent's worried. I'm worried because I don't know what's about to happen. You know, even though I'm prepared and I'm trained for it and I'm nervous and I'm anxious and I'm excited, I don't know what's about to happen.
Yeah.
But it's that fear of that. That's why, you know, you might rush to that chaos. But like,
this is the same reason why you come out probably a week prior, right?
But I don't think anything prepares you for that, Henry. You're about to go to war.
Yeah.
You know, you're about to start bussing at each other. Bop, 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 bop.
Don't start swinging the sword. Don't start swinging the sword.
That's a meme. That's a meme. Oh, shit. I just did it to myself. But that's about to happen. And you don't, you know, that fear of it. It doesn't matter how much you train, how much you prepare. There's always going to be that fear. Because it's almost like when the ref looks at you and goes, "You ready?" Give me time to say yes. They don't even give you time to say yes or no, whether you're ready or not. Have you seen a ref go, "Are you ready?" Waiting for you to acknowledge that you're ready?
Right.
No, you know, so I think it's that fear that you try to rush past, because I never thought of it as, oh, shit, the reason you hurry up and create that is because you want to
But it's not just that, too, like Kamaru. I think sometimes we all do it subconscious, like we don't know it, but you're a psychology major. You know what I'm saying? So when you're actually in war with your brother, and you're helping him get ready. So you helped him out. I remember you flying out. You guys were talking. Justin Gaethje's calling Kamaru. He's like, "Hey, Kamaru, come out, dude. I need your help." And you're like, "I'm there. Like, I'll be there." Like, you know what I'm saying? So there's an emotional attachment.
There is a big emotional attachment, but it's also, I understand what he's going through, because obviously we go through fight camps, and you know that it's almost like when you're rolling into fight week, You feel that that energy has to be right with your team, because you want to know, especially if we run into my opponent and he get lippy, everybody on my squad is ready to ride for me. Yeah. We all about to go to war. And so
is that why you get,
I understand
where that pump from, like down here.
So I understand that. So as soon as I go and see him, I'm bringing that energy of, I want to prepare you for the best possible you when you go into battle. So it's
there's a really cool clip back in Utah with when Justin Gaethje knocked out Poirier, and it wasn't just you, but it was your daughter, and the way you guys are celebrating, it's like, damn,
bro. I
talk about a father daughter bond watching one of your best friends go out there and kill somebody.
Bro, I blacked out, and I almost would have missed that fight, because it's crazy, because it was right up my daughter's birthday.
Damn.
Was that day.
So she came with you.
Yeah. And she's turning 9. And I was like, oh, crap, I'm going to have to miss this, because, you know, you don't just get to redo those birthdays. And she goes, "Daddy, I want to go to the fight." And I'm like, really? She's like, "Yeah, I want to go to the fight, Justin's fight." Because she knows Justin. She likes Justin. And so I'm like, oh, my God.
So yes. Now you got to be warrior /
yes.
daddy.
No, it was one of the best trips. that I've been on.
Yeah.
Because we just hung out, we ate, we chilled, we did our, we were able to go to the practices and everything.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. And when that happened, yo, I blacked out. Yeah. I jumped out of my chair so high. I came back down and I'm holding the thing and I was like, out. You know how you're out and you don't realize, it's like when you get that like choke, so has that blood choke on you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you're like, oh,
you're lightheaded.
Yeah, you're lightheaded. I jumped up, lightheaded. I was like, oh, wow. That's how excited I was for his fight. And it's, you know, there's only been a few guys that I've had a bond so close to that would make me feel something like that. Whether it's, you know, that adrenaline dump. And obviously, Michael Johnson, who actually was Justin Gaethje's first fight in the UFC, and Rashad Evans, Anthony Johnson a couple of times. But, yeah. You know, these guys were Eddie Alvarez that I've really felt that with.
Yeah, that's a grip. That's a grip. I wish I had fought more of those guys, too.
I think you coach. So I think a little piece of that is you can get some of that satisfaction. You can get some of all that.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. You can. Yeah, no. Because, yeah, I was able to coach Davison when he lost to Moreno. And I was able to coach him, I'm sorry, on the rematch. And when Davison was able to beat him, I'm just like, damn. I've never been in that position to really feel those feelings of what a coach feels like.
Yeah.
It's always been about us. And, it's a great emotional feeling. But when I did the whole fight camp with them, give the whole strategy, the whole game plan, I was in the corner, you know, giving them the advice. I was the one that's going in and telling, hey, relax, you're doing a good job. Hey, stay disciplined on the game plan. We're beating this, dude. Continue the setup. And then once they say, and you fuck, dude, I'm like.
It's a different satisfaction.
It's a satisfaction. I can see why. Coaches look for that too.
Yeah.
Not just fighters.
Yeah, because now you're helping other people achieve their goal that they set out to accomplish. Yeah. So,
but overall, you feel confident with Justin?
I feel confident. You know what? I think we should just do our picks right now for this main card because, you know, you've been talking mad crazy lately, talking about that y'all. I pick better than you and this and that. So I think we go into our picks.
Hey, but then if that's the case, then we got to pick them.
Yeah, I'm down. Let's do it. You know, first fight on that main card, we've got opening main card. We got Bo Nickel, you know, on that main card. And he is taking on, who's Bo Nickel fighting again? Cody Brundage. Listen, Bo Nickel is the guy that they're building or whatnot. But listen, you matter too. So don't take this as any disrespect in no way, shape, form, or fashion. You matter too. I know who you are. I have seen you. I have actually called a fight that you were on. So I know who you are. You know, go out there and you do your thing, you know. But Bo Nickel, I'm going this way. No diss. Come on.
Get this out of Hollywood, Jesus.
Come on. No diss.
I'm not sure.
Cody, you matter. You know, for sure you do. But I got Bo Nickel.
Yeah, Bo Nickel's just too much. And rightfully so. He's got 5 fights. He's 5-0. He's beating everybody, I want to say, in the first or second round. Bo Nickel's just too hot.
But if anyone could do it, it's Cody Brundage.
I mean, if I'm to give Cody Brundage a little bit of advice, you have to take risks. You have to do what Masvidal did to Ben Askren. Look for that knee. Get him to come in, boom, and pretty much shut his lights off because he's going to wrestle. He's going to go in there. He might throw some hands, but I think with this guy's a little more dangerous. But either way, Cody, you have to take risks.
Yes, but listen, my man has felt what it's like to knock somebody out in the UFC cage right now. So, you know, when you start drinking that Kool-Aid, you never want to stop. So, yeah.
Go ahead. Shit, that's become our slogan. We're about to sell a million of these.
Link coming soon. All right, so next fight, we've got, of course, Charles Dubronx Oliveira taking on Armin Sarukian. This is a great fight. You know, I think both guys are great. I like both. I mean, there's not many fair fighters that I'm not a fan of nowadays. I'm going to go with Armin Sarukian.
Oof, okay.
And I'm I don't even want to give why. I you know, it's a reason. I don't want to give why, but I'm going to go with Armin Sarukian.
I love Charles, man. I think Charles has an incredible story. A kid from the favelas, a kid that talks about he grew up hungry. Like, I can relate to this dude. And through the trials and tribulations that he's gone through, that what he's been able to do, I mean, the most finishes in UFC history, the most bonuses in UFC history, it's hard to count him out. But right now, man, Armin Sarukian, I'm going to have to agree with you, Kamaru. Wow. He's coming in. He's a short fighter. I think he's going to keep this fight basic. He's going to play it safe. I think for that reason, I can see a 3-round decision by Armin Sarukian.
All that, and you went with Armin? You hit me with the heartstrings and all everything.
Yeah, I'm learning from the nightmare.
Wow. All right, next fight, my main event. We got Justin the Highlight Gaethje taking on Max Jerome, a.k.a. Blessed Holloway. Oh, man, Max, another guy that I love so much. I'm a big fan of Max. And but, you know, Justin being my brother, you know, you ride with family always. So,
yeah,
go with Justin.
I think the only way maybe Max Holloway gets a victory like that is he's going to have to push the pace with Justin and just make a fight. Make Justin that violence guy he used to be, because in the past, the way he has lost in the past is when he throws out the kitchen sink a little too early. So by the time the fourth and fifth round actually comes, Justin is different. But he is a different fighter now.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm just giving pointers for Max, but I think Justin Gaethje's kick, I think that's his biggest weapon, and also his uppercuts. And he's very technical, very technical. And now that I understand a little bit of the footwork that Trevor Whitman has him doing, it's hard to bet against a dude that has been knocking people the hell out and knocking him out senseless. So for that reason, I'm going Justin Gaethje.
All right, co-main, we've got both of our Chinese fighters.
You know any Chinese, Kamar? No.
Ni hao. I think that's Chinese, right? Ni hao. Yes. Ni hao.
What about is konnichiwa? Is that Japanese?
Yeah.
Is that Japanese?
I think that's
Chinese?
Mandarin.
Chinese, right?
No, Chinese. Konnichiwa.
Japanese. Okay.
Konnichiwa. Is that Japanese? I think konnichiwa. Yeah. Yeah. Because I know it because Japan, they bow a lot, you know, and I love it. I love it. Great culture. Before you cancel me. Wei Li.
Before that infamous bow.
Zhang Wei Li taking on Yan Sanan. You know, I think I hit that right. But, hey, two ladies, very, very good, aggressive fighters. Henry, I sat with this and I thought about it for a minute. And, you know, I think you are right. Wei Li, I saw Wei Li pick up Shaquille O'Neal. I saw Wei Li pick up Shaquille O'Neal. Wei Li fights at 115 pounds. Picked up Shaq. So, I'm going to go with Wei Li.
Yeah, Wei Li right now, she's got too many tools. She's technically very sound, but tactically, she could take the fight wherever she wants to take it. The only way I could see her losing is maybe getting emotional because she's fighting another countryman of hers in Yan. But that being said, there's too many tools.
Countrywoman.
There's too many. There's too many tools that Wei Li has. So for that reason, I mean, I got Wei Li by a stoppage or decision, 50-45.
Wait, easy.
We got to. I call it how I see.
Yan. Hey, if anyone can do it, you can do it. Okay. Moving on to the next fight. The main event, we've got Jamal Hill taking on Alex Pereira. We got Poetan taking on Sweet Dreams. Now it is actually growing on me. You know, at first, when he first came in the UFC, he's like, Sweet Dreams.
Yeah.
But now you know who Sweet Dreams is. And, hey, he's growing on me as a fighter. Obviously, I still to this day, I don't think he's the most technical fighter in that division. I don't think he's the most well-rounded in that division, but he's a man that he's on a mission. He believes in these. And, hey, sometimes all you need, because he knows if I touch you, I'm going to sit you down.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, man, this is a tough one for me. It's a tough because I just see Alex Pereira. I see how he's been. This is a tough one. My heart wants to go with Jamal Hill, but he's coming off an injury to where I think it might have been rushed. I think it might have been rushed to come back.
Yeah,
an Achilles that's just for that sheer fact alone, and knowing how well Alex Pereira can kick, and just I'm gonna go with Alex Pereira.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And I think too, then there's something that throws me off, and it could be also be psychology. Is he's a little too friendly with Pereira.
It don't matter. I'm here to eat. I'm here for my check.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm be cool with you. I'm cool with you too. Even though in the back of my mind, when I see you, I'm saying all these bad, mean things, but I'm cool with you too. Yeah. As long as you're cool with me, I'm cool with you. But you felt the energy, because Poitin is always like, you know, even when I was sitting next to him in Miami, I was low key like, hey, don't hit me, dog. Yeah. But he's just always got that, you know, face on. But Jamal Hill, I think he understands that, hey, it is what it is. We going to go in there, they're going to lock the door, and we going to touch each other.
Yeah, I mean, the way that Sweet Dreams gets it done is, in the beginning, straight punches. And that's the only way that I really see it. I mean, I wish he would add a little bit of that wrestling, but he's not going to. So, I mean, I know we talked about it before, but Alex Pereira is already super confident. He wants to fight in 301. And I do believe if he gets rid of Jamal Hill, he's just gonna rest up a little bit, and he's gonna go over, and he's gonna fight in Rio. He's gonna headline that.
Well, hey, you're trying to get this bread, and there's no time like the present to get the bread. But so you went with Sweet Dreams Hill on that one. Okay. Great fight card, UFC 300 going down this weekend on Saturday at the T-Mobile Arena. See, we cutting promos and we not even getting checks for these guys.
Not yet. But is there one underdog that you would pick out of the whole fight club? Like, you know what? I would bet my money on this guy.
That's a great question, Henry. I think going through that card, if I had to bet money, I think the biggest would be Cody Brundage.
Yeah.
Because I think...
spoil the party, huh?
Well, because just because of the odds are probably like minus or plus 1,500 or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's a safe bet. If I'm putting 100 on that, I'm coming out with $1,500. Yeah. So, hey, I think that's the only one, really, because every other fight is just so closely contested. I mean, you've got freaking what? A champion in almost every fight, except maybe one or two. So, a champion or a former champion. So, hey, it is what it is. I would say that one. What about you?
Whew. I think if there's one that I feel like, I don't know, man. I'm thinking that Holly Holm one, dude. You know? It's hard to count out a former champ.
Oh, she's the underdog.
She's the underdog. A huge underdog.
A huge
underdog.
It was huge. 1,500 is huge.
What is it?
Plus
three,
that's
plus
not that 11. Big.
Plus three,
plus 1,100.
See?
Yeah. Well,
it's,
I mean,
it's,
I can,
it's okay.
But
yeah.
But stylistically, though, too, like, Kamaru, like, if obviously we cannot bet, but for those who are actually, I mean, remember, Kayla Harrison has to drop all that weight to be able to make it. That's 20 pounds, bro.
Yeah.
Like, you can be Olympic champ all you want, but it changes, man, if you don't make that weight correctly. The first time making 136 pounds, that's no joke, man. So I believe that if there's another underdog that people may be looking to bet, yeah, I would probably go Holly Holmes.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right, Henry, that is UFC 300 going down this Saturday. Guys, if you want the full breakdown that we did earlier this week, make sure you go check out our YouTube. Make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, of course. And if you want to leave a comment, do your thing. You know, I ain't gonna twist your arm, even though I'm gonna twist your arm. But yes, UFC 300 going on this Saturday, and we are out.